You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Ezra. We'll just stay there a moment. Jeannie, is that you back there? Jeannie Wilkins and Tish and your grandson. We're thankful that you girls are back home. They're going to be here on July 13th. We're going to be 50 years of age. And they were part of that very first Sunday. God bless you. We're proud you're here. Brother Tim Sparks was going to come, he and his wife, and he would have been 60 on Friday. Last Sunday, he died of a heart attack, and just suddenly. And you pray for their family this week, if you will. Well, we're in Ezra. I prayed. I'm having a difficult time with this message because my job, according to the Bible, is to reprove. That's to discover error. If we have error in our church, I'm to discover it. Reprove, rebuke, I'm supposed to deal with that error. I'm not very good at either one of those. It's hard for me. The last one's easy for me, exhort. That's to encourage you. And I want to leave God's people encouraged. It's sort of like this, when our kids, they're all serving God, pastors, all three boys are pastors, and yet when we were raising those three kids, two girls, one boy, I was not a very good disciplinarian. How many of you are, that's your expertise, you're a good disciplinarian, you can raise your hand, a lot of you men. I was not. My wife, well, all right, it came time to spank Tim. And I was always a, you know, over your knee, three swats on the backside. That was it, just three. My wife was Machine Gun Kelly. I mean, she would rip off 10, 12, 15 swats, and I just, Tabitha's a witness of that. But I mean, she could get with it. I remember one time, I've told you this before, I remember one time I didn't agree with my wife. She said, you're gonna have to discipline your son. And she said it sort of with a smile because she knew that, you know, she had promised him that, but she was wrong. And I sort of caught that, so I said, okay, now Tim, what we're gonna do? We're going to this room and shut the door, and I'm gonna slap my hand against, and you go, ah! And three times. And so, ah, ah, and I opened the door, she's standing there and goes, I know what you boys are up to. I was not good. Brother Jerry, I would spank those three kids three times. The first one was, you know, the second one was, the third one was just sort of push my hand there and just leave it for a second. That's how I am as a pastor. I'm going to stand for right for this church. But I don't like reproving. I don't like rebuking. How in the world could a pastor of a church like this ever reprove you? I think about you folks all day long. My prayer journal, I pray for you. I was able to mark off one man. I told him this morning, got a job. He's been on my prayer page, page 23. He got a job this week. I put a line through his name, answered prayer. You have been the perfect church. You run the buses. You teach the classes. You sacrifice. You tithe. Everything, you're perfect. But I'm coming to you as if you're not perfect today. I want you to see with me today, Ezra chapter number 9. And verse number 8, Ezra 9, we're going to use this and then back up to 2 Chronicles, just one book back. Ezra chapter 9, they're building the temple. Now again, Ezra, they've been in captivity for 70 years, and now they have a little space of grace. Verse number 8, ready, begin. And now for a little space,
to lead us and to save, and to give us a name to
I want you to turn back. By the way, before you do, look at that A Little Space of Grace. Go back to a couple of pages, his next book, 2 Chronicles chapter 34. If you'll turn to 34. I'm speaking today about the need of the hour. You see, on November the 5th, regardless of what your political persuasion, I believe God gave us a political revival. All seven swing states, all the counties, California's all red except for Los Angeles, Silicon Valley, and San Francisco. It's all red. Everything's red. Illinois is all red except for Chicago. God gave us a space of grace politically. When a president will stand in, one of the first things he'll say, a man is a man and a woman is a woman. There's two genders only. That's political courage. When a man says we're going to stand with Israel, that's political courage. Look at what they're doing on the university campuses. Look how they promote Hamas in our country. Look what's happening. And a man said, we're not going to allow that. You have your gender ideology. We're going to pull your $400 million we're giving that Columbia University. We're not going to support that. That's courage. And I tell you, the left hates it. Brother Patrick, they hate it. The man is standing with courage. Cutting the government. Cutting expenditure. $22 million for Sesame Street in another country about sodomy. Something's wrong. I believe there's a political revival going on in America that's second to none. I've never seen it on this fashion. And you haven't walked out, thank God for you. But here's our problem. We need a spiritual revival. I'm talking about North Valley Baptist Church, the greatest church in all the world. It's the greatest church. The choir, you can't find another choir like that. You can't find an orchestra like this. You can't find people singing like this. It's amazing. The other properties filled today. These buildings are filled today. We got people everywhere. God's doing something, yes. But we're in desperate need of a spiritual revival. We just have a space of grace. Amen. Brother Travis, it's just maybe another 3 years if the Lord tarries. Just a space. This whole thing could turn. And it may turn because of the tribulation. Brother Harder, I mentioned how that I believe God's willing to send another revival for the fact of getting as many people saved before the tribulation. For he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Amen.
There must be a spiritual revival. I'm talking about your heart.
Yep.
I'm talking about my heart. I, as your pastor, in desperate need of spiritual revival.
Amen.
I know that. I remember I was preaching years ago, 30-some years ago, for Bobby Robertson. He's home with the Lord, pastor of the same church, 61 years, big church in the tobacco fields of North Carolina. And I was preaching there, and I got done preaching, and he was weeping before his people. And he said, oh, Bobby Robertson needs revival. And I thought, if he needs revival, what hope do I have?
Amen.
We need a spiritual revival.
Amen.
Gypsy Smith, the old preacher, they said, Gypsy, how do you have revival? It goes, very simple. If one person to go home, lock himself in a closet, draw a circle with chalk, and step inside that circle and say, oh God, give this man revival, we'll have revival. A preacher, evangelist, was preaching at a church, And nothing was happening, and nothing was happening, and nothing was happening. And they prayed for revival, they prayed for revival, prayed for, and nothing was happening. And then all of a sudden, one man over here, Deacon Brown, he stood up, and he came over here, I think it was to Deacon Jones, and he said, I want to tell you something. I've been against you. I've had aught in my heart for so many years. And it goes, until we get right with one another, and I need to get right with you, and until I get right, there'll be no revival in this church. And those men embraced, and they came to the altar, and got right, and a revival broke out in that city. 1810, a man came to Hawaii to preach the word of God. And in Hawaii, he began to preach and preach and preach. In Hawaii, where it's always been a melting pot of the world, they came from all those countries. And all of a sudden, God began to move in a great way. On one Sunday, he baptized 1,790 people. He baptized in 2 years' time over 11,000 people. And when he left the island, Hawaii had revival. God wants to revive our church. I've seen so many great evangelistic meetings. I've preached all over this country this year, in January, February, March. I preached in Virginia at a large, large convention this year. I preached in North Carolina at a large, large convention. I preached in Texas at a large convention. I preached in Georgia at a large convention. I preached in Michigan at a large convention. I preached all over in these first 3 months, all over the nation. And I'm seeing good meetings. But I wonder, are we having a revival? We're having a political revival, but are we having a spiritual revival? Here in 2 Chronicles chapter 34, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. He reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. What's verse 2 say? Ready, begin. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father. You know, he didn't have the heritage of that. You may not have that heritage. His dad, the chapter before, was Ammon. Ammon was king 2 years, and then they conspired against him, and they slew him, and they killed him. His grandfather before that, his grandfather, that was his father, Ammon, his grandfather was who? Manasseh. And Manasseh was evil. He walked in the ways of his father. He was evil continually. So his heritage, Brother Ben, his heritage was a rotten father, rotten example, a wicked man, a rotten grandfather. But his great-grandfather, he never saw his great-grandfather, was Hezekiah. I wonder if you're from a bad background, but you go back two or three generations, I wonder what kind of background you have in your life. And here is a man, Josiah, and he said, I don't have a good example, my dad. I don't have a good example, my grandfather. But I want to say my great-grandfather did right. There's individual accountability. I don't care what your dad did for a living. I know many preachers today, their dad grew up with the mob. And they eventually got sentenced to jail. Your heritage may be the mob. It may be your drug-infested family. It may be you're all a bunch of alcoholics. But I'm telling you something, you could have spiritual revival and change your family. And that's what happened here. Notice in verse number 2, the Bible says, and verse 3, and in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, and that's when you want to seek God, teenager. He began to seek after God of the father David in the 12th year. He began to seek God, and he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem. What needs to be purged in your home? What needs to, you say, well, we don't have any control of the TV. Well, if you can't control the TV, then get rid of it. See how weak that amen was? That's why we need revival. You're talking about getting rid of the TV. If you cannot control the TV, get rid of it. Amen. If you cannot control your cell phone, get rid of it. And I know what I'm talking about there because I deal with thousands and thousands and thousands of people, and most of it is on the cell phone. It's all wickedness. Gonna have to be so very careful. My phone is hooked up to something, but it doesn't have much. I get the sports and I get the Daily Wire. People send me videos all the time saying, now watch this. I can't get it, friends. I don't have YouTube. I don't have Facebook. I don't have that stuff. I don't have it. Why? Because I'm a good Christian? No. Because I'm a poor Christian. I believe if that began to show up on my phone, I don't know. I doubt if I have the ability to say no to sin. God's word says, put no confidence in the flesh. Well, my goodness, you shouldn't be our pastor. I know that. But I'm not gonna risk this thing that I can control it and then pastor this church and on a Sunday night come up and have to resign to you because I messed up on the cell phone. He began to purge. He saw all these things. Look at verse number 4. He broke down the altars of Balaam in the presence, the images on high, and the molten images, and he burned the bones of the priests upon the altars. And when he broken down, verse number 7, the altars of the groves, he had beaten the graven images into powder and cut down the idols. He said, listen, I am going to have revival by purging our land. What needs to be purged in your life? Child of God, what needs to be purged? We in our Sunday school class this morning saw in the book of Zechariah that God says, I saw you fasting. I saw you praying. But I will never answer your prayers because you're hypocrites. You do all these religious things. You come to Sunday morning, come to Sunday night, come to Wednesday night. You pass out tracts. You do all those things. But it's not from your heart. God says, I'm not going to answer your prayer. I want to ask you a question according to James chapter 5. When was the last time you could say you had answered a prayer? I look at my prayer journal. I look at lines drawn through answered prayer. I've got so many in page after page. But what answered prayer do you have? When was the last time is God daily answering prayers? Is God weekly answering prayers? God should answer some prayers. I find that financially they became not only a spiritual revival, but financially it was a revival. Verse 14, and when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah, the priest found a book of the law of the Lord. There's two things. They found money at the house of God. They found the book of the law. They found, verse number 15, the book of the law in the house of the Lord. Verse number 17, and they have gathered together the money that was found in the house. When there's spiritual revival, your pocketbook gets revived for the work of God. Amen. I was praying this morning. We started 400 churches in the Philippines. We paid the pastor's salary for a year. We built him a building and then left. All 400 are going to this day. We finished that project about a year and a half ago. We started in Mexico, and Mexico costs more than most of those churches are back in the villages. You have to crawl in there, and they're not fancy buildings. There's no windows. There's just coverings in the Philippines. But now in Mexico, it's a little bit more expensive. And we're starting 5 or 10 a year, I think, Brother Poussin, 5. It's a little bit more money. It's going to take us many years. We're going to start 200. I was praying for that this morning and had it on my mind. Do you realize that all that takes money? Do you realize to keep this Christian school open that costs us $250,000 extra a year over and above takes money? Do you realize the cause cost us, this church, $500,000? Do you realize that our $300,000+ missions money takes a lot of missionaries, a lot of sacrifice to keep them on the field?
Amen.
Child of God, and you say, well, he's always after money. That's why I can't get a project. I can't lay it out for the front of that building, because I feel like you've given and given and given, and I'm just asking God to provide a miracle. I don't know what program to have for us. We've had programs in the past, Sweet 16 and Turnkey Project, and Giving by Faith 1, Giving by Faith 2, Giving by Faith 3, Giving by Faith 4, Rise Up and Build campaign. We had them all, but I can't get any campaign this time. But when there's a spiritual revival, I don't need a campaign. Well, there's a Bible revival, I don't need a campaign. Look at chapter 34, verse 30. And the king went into the house of the Lord. Watch this. And all, not some, all the men of Judah. Let's stop right there. I was here early this morning, and I went home and picked my wife up. I'm coming back in to drive her, to drop her off, go find a parking. And as I turn right into the driveway, I'm watching the cars. I saw them lined up down De La Cruz, turning left. That was a beautiful sight. I mean, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, that's 6 or 7 cars. All line, and that's how it is all the time out there. And though that we have great crowds coming, it's nothing like the 49ers. We don't have to hire the police department to direct traffic here. When there's a spiritual revival, people, all the people. And that's what the Bible says. They all went into the house of God, great and small, priests and Levites, and he read in the ears the book of the covenant was found in the house of God. And the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord. It starts with the pastor. It starts with the king. And he made a covenant to walk after the Lord, and he made a covenant to keep the commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart. Before you ever can have revival, I must have revival. And that's why I beg for you to pray for me.
Amen.
Brother Tony, I'm loving the ministry more today than ever. I just love it. And I know that God's going to take me home one of these days. But I don't want to get out of the ministry. I want to stay in the ministry.
Amen.
I want to die serving God.
Amen.
I think of a preacher friend of mine, and a couple of them, they died on Monday morning in their offices. I don't want to die out in a rest home. If that's God's plan for me, that's his plan. I want to serve God, and he just dropped dead of a heart attack.
Amen.
I don't want so much the less. I want so much the more.
Amen.
President Roosevelt said this. He said, we're having a great political revival in America. But he said, it's going to be short-lived, because what we need, and hear what our president said, we need a spiritual revival in America. Not a political revival in America. Not politics, not economics, not social, he said. We need a spiritual revival in America. Revival always begins in your home, in my home. We sing, in my heart, send a great revival, a stirring again. I want to pass away one day so right with God. Like Elijah. And Elijah walked with God, and one day God said, now Elijah, we've been walking together, and we're closer to my home than your home tonight. I'm going to take you home. I want to be so right with God that the blessings of God can pour out on my life and that you can live on the overflow.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.